Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The manifestation of the Spirit. So let's look into your Bibles again. Are you ready for the word? Are you ready for the word? All right. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Concerning spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. Let's write. We've seen over and over again. We've seen over and over again that Paul prioritized knowledge. Knowledge in teaching the things of the Spirit. Paul prioritized knowledge in teaching the things of the Spirit. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant. Hallelujah. So that's where we started this study from. That, see, Paul prioritized knowledge in teaching the things of the Spirit. Paul did not despise knowledge. Paul did not trivialize knowledge. Paul did not talk down on knowledge. Paul did not say, oh, let's not do doctrine. It's not about doctrine. Let's just have the Spirit. He prioritized the knowledge of God's word in teaching the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant. That is, he wanted them to be well informed. You can't overemphasize this. He wanted them to be what? Well informed. Hallelujah. Now, having examined the first thing he pointed out at verses 2 and 3, which is the basis for spirituals in Christ, do you remember what that is? Alright, so having examined the first thing he pointed out at verses 2 to 3, which is based for spirituals in Christ, we began to examine other vital things that Paul wants us to know about spirituals. Hallelujah. In the verses we are going to examine today, Paul shares with the Corinthians how the things of the Spirit in Christ are commonplace. Commonplace means how they are common to all believers. It is not an exclusive preserve of anybody. It's for all believers. Hallelujah. How they are commonplace. And he also shares the purpose of these gifts. Amen. So as we keep studying, you see that Paul has shown them, okay, the basis for spirituals in Christ is the gospel. And then he wants to start showing them the things of the Spirit in Christ. And then he's pointing out to us, he's going to be showing us in this letter, how that the things of the Spirit, the first thing he says after showing us the boundary or the basis for spirituals, he's now going to show us how these things of the Spirit are commonplace. They are common to every believer. Hallelujah. He's also now going to show us the purpose of these things. Now listen. This particular knowledge also shows us the difference between what is found in idolatry and what is found in Christ. Amen. And we're going to connect those dots. So 1 Corinthians 12:4-8. This thing is always low. Actually, it's recording loudly. All right, I sent you a message before the service. It's always low. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, right? There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Say with me, the manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. What is given to each one? The what? Of what? The Spirit. All that. Now the word diversities we saw last week is the Greek word diaresis. Diaresis. Diversities is the Greek word. Be your brother's keeper. He needs a pen. Diversity is the Greek word diaresis, which means variety. It also means differences. So when we say there are diversities of gifts, we are saying there are different kinds of gifts. Amen. There are what? Different kinds of gifts. And that is the same word translated differences at verse 5. There are diversities of gifts to mean there are different kinds of gifts. And that's the same word translated differences at verse 5. Glory to God. The word gift as earlier seen is the word gift is what? Charisma. Praise God. I'm trying to sample your brain. The word gift as earlier seen is the Greek word charisma, which means what? Endowment. It means endowment. It also means miraculous faculty. Endowment. Miraculous faculty. This is the word used for things that are freely given or received. This is the word used for things that are freely given or received. You know, last week we saw a whole lot of scriptures about this. You remember? Last week we went through the New Testament to see how the word charisma is used. And we saw that it's used for things that are freely bestowed. So when it calls it the gift of the Spirit, you ought not to be thinking of what to do to receive it. It is freely given. Hallelujah. Naturally, the word gift is meant to just communicate that idea. Gift. But then, in our contemporary use of the word gift, gifts are not always gifts. Praise God. In fact, in classical Greek, the word gift is not unique to Christianity. So in classical Greek, the word gift was used in a way that they were using gifts to get favors. So I could want to meet with a king and I'll give him a gift. You know, you remember the gift of a man would do what? He's not talking about talent or skills. He's talking about gift as far. Go and meet a king and give him something. So they use gifts to get more favor. In fact, the rich in those days don't give to the poor like that. They give to nobles, fellow kings and all that to get more favors. That's why you will now see that when Paul was talking about the gift of God in Christ, he would now say the free gift. Glory to God. Because ideally it's just meant to be gift. But in the use of that word, even right then, it was not free. It was not always a free thing. Glory to God. So they had to qualify it. The free gift of God in Christ. Glory to God. So charisma is endowment, miraculous faculty. It is used for things that are freely received or given in Christ. Glory to God. That is New Testament usage of the apostles and of Christ. Now that means the gifts of the Spirit are a faculty. That means the gifts of the Spirit are a faculty within us. The gifts of the Spirit are a faculty within us. Hallelujah. They are a faculty within us. A part and parcel of us. Glory to God. The word faculty, you know, we saw miraculous faculty or endowment. So the word faculty means something that is inherent. When we say it's a faculty within us, we mean it's inherent. It's natural for us. Glory to God. Just as a man is born into this world and he has the natural capability or capacity to begin to walk around. Just like a baby is born into this world and he has the capacity to see or to talk. Do you understand? Everything that is a part and parcel of your makeup as a man is your natural tendency. It's your faculty. Glory to God. So, the gifts of the Spirit are a faculty in us. The English word charisma, how many of us are conversant with the use of the word charisma in English? Say, that guy, his charisma is out of this world and all that. So, that English word charisma is from this Greek word. It is not an English word. It's borrowed. So, it's a Greek word. Charisma. Hallelujah. And it means favor freely given. Favor freely given. Are we still writing? So when they say someone has certain charisma, it's more like a natural charm. It's a natural charm. There's an aura around you. So you say, that guy is, I love his charisma, his courage and all that. It's like a natural charm. So in Christ, we have God's charisma. We have God's charisma. That is the things that are normal for God. Glory to God. The things that are what? Normal for God. Or normal with God. The things that God possesses naturally. Things he can manifest as a natural tendency. God's own charisma. If God were to show up in this place, what are the things we will see around him? That's his charisma. So we have God's charisma in Christ. This is where the word charismatic is gotten from. Okay, I think you have overdone this. Praise God. That's where the word charismatic is found. So every believer has what it takes to be charismatic. Hallelujah. You know, there are Christians who refer to themselves as charismatics. Amen. And sometimes when you look at the different classifications in the body of Christ, you just wonder, okay, you say, we are gospel churches. Hallelujah. Some will say we are Pentecostals. Who is not gospel? Praise God. Then some will say we are charismatics. Which other ones? We are orthodox, right? What's the meaning of orthodox? Do you know that every believer should have an orthodox approach? Praise God. Yes. Very orderly. There's dogma. Do you understand? So, every believer has what it takes to be charismatic. Now, let's keep writing. It's a known fact that charisma is something that inspires admiration. Charisma inspires admiration. It inspires awe and wonder in others. So when you look at a man that is charismatic, you just want to be around him. Praise God. That's assuming you have a good heart. You want to associate with them. You admire them. Glory to God. However, in Christ, our charisma is not for self-glorification. Our charisma is not for self-glorification. The believer's charisma are the things of the Spirit. Glory be to God. The believer's charisma are what? The things of the Spirit. Amen. Listen up. The reason why I took you through this whole thing is to emphasize how that what we are looking out for in the life of a believer, when we say a believer, you know, is charismatic, he has charisma and all this, we're not looking at any external thing, any earthly material thing. We are looking at the Spirit. That's your charisma in Christ. Praise God. So it's not in suits or bling bling and all these things, Versace, Gucci. No, the charisma of the believer is what? The Spirit. Those are the things men should see
and admire.
In the corporate world or in the world at large, you know, you could enter an organization, you are well dressed, and then people are saying, ah, that guy, man, maybe the way you talk, and they are just impressed. That's not what impresses us in Christ. Glory to God. It's about the spirit. That's the aura. That's the thing. Glory to God. The spirit of God. So that's why you notice that someone like Solomon, he had all these things. And when Jesus was going to talk about him, what did he say? He said, Solomon in all his glory is not as arrayed as one of these lilies of the field. Solomon was a man that was rich. He had money, he had wealth, he had fame, he had everything. And Jesus, look at the comparison. Now, if you were the one who had spoken about Solomon that way, without Jesus saying anything about it, people would consider you to be disrespectful. You are very rude. Praise God. To look at a king, one of the greatest kings ever, even not the greatest king ever, when it comes to influence and wealth in Israel, you now look at him and you say, he is not as glorious as the lily of the field. Glory be to God. But do you know that was the same Solomon that people were coming from all over to come and hear him, to sit at his feet. Yeah. So that was his own charisma. Hallelujah. That was his charm. But not so in Christ. Glory be to God. The kind of things that made men marvel and wonder in the ministry of Jesus have to do with the teaching of God's word and the demonstration of the Spirit. Write that down. The things that made men wonder and marvel in the ministry of Christ are the teaching of God's word and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. That is charisma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is charisma. Did you see people talking about what Jesus wore? What he wore? Hallelujah. The kind of shoes. Is there a record of the kind of perfume or ointment that he was using in those days? You don't find them documenting such things. Amen. Jesus wouldn't walk into a room and people say, wow, man. That was not what they were seeing. Now, that's not to say that he was not dressing well. Hallelujah. That's not to say he was always on rags. The point is real charisma had overshadowed all those things. So when a preacher comes, and every time all we have to say about him, not just a preacher, a believer, we're all preachers, and all we have to say about you is how you dress, and that's what we can see. That is what is so pronounced in your life. There's a problem. Because the charisma of the believer, when we say this guy is charismatic, what we are talking about are the things of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 6, 28 to 29. Let's see that portion I quoted. See what Jesus said about Solomon. Matthew 6, 28 to 29. Hallelujah. Matthew 6, 28 to 29. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the leaves of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Hallelujah. Solomon, in all his glory, was not what? Was not arrayed like one of these. Hallelujah. He wasn't arrayed as one of these. Look at John chapter 1, verse 14. And I said to you, the things that made men admire Jesus have to do with the teaching of God's word and the demonstration of God's power. John 1, 14. Praise God. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Bible says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John said, we did what? We beheld his glory. Hallelujah. What did they see in Christ? His glory. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. Those were the things that made men marvel. His glory. We'll come to a point where we see, when we start seeing the use of the word manifest or manifested, you see how part of his glory was how that there were signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Those were part of the things they saw as the manifestation of his glory. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14 to 15. Bible says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit in Galilee, or to Galilee, and the news of him went through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Hallelujah. That's what they saw. They saw the power of the Spirit, and they saw the preaching, the teaching of the Word of God, and they glorified God. Hallelujah. So, let's write. In the ministry of Christ, the things that made them marvel were supernatural exploits. In the ministry of Christ, the things that made men marvel were supernatural exploits. Glory to God. Supernatural what? Exploits. Hallelujah. Let's go through Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27. You find that particular word used many times for how men responded to Jesus. They marveled. And then when you look at the things that made them marvel, they were not earthly things. They were not natural things. They were not natural charisma or charm. They had to do with supernatural things. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23 to 27. Matthew 8, 23 to 27. Glory to God. Matthew 8, 23 to 27. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men did what? They marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? So what made them marvel? The fact that he had authority over the wind, over the sea. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9, verse 6 to 8. Matthew 9, 6 to 8. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. What did they see that made them marvel? The healing of a man that was paralyzed. They marveled. Glory to God. That is, they admired what they saw. They were impressed. Glory to God. Look at this other place. Matthew 15. Sorry, did you say Matthew 9? Matthew 9, 32 to 33. Matthew 9, 32 to 33. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes did what? Marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. They marveled again when they saw that demons were cast out. Hallelujah. And the mute man began to speak. Matthew 15 and 30 to 31. Matthew 15, 30 to 31. Those are the things that make men marvel. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we're not going to be different from the world if what we flaunt as our charisma are the things common to men. That is, those are the same things. If Jesus says the body is more than clothing and, you know, is more than clothing and your life is more than food and all those things, you can't be flaunting what's on the external. You can't be flaunting cloth, how you dress as your thing. Amen. People, they ask me, say, waiting, they make me fine. Praise God. I can't tell them, say, now Jesus, they make. And what is he talking about? Are they fine? Are they fine? Are they? And he's pointing at the edge here. He's pointing to the shoe. Is that why you are fine? Because you are in Christ. That's why you are fine. Glory be to God. Look at your parents. The combination made you fine. Amen. It's not faith in Christ. Glory to God. That's why another Christian in Christ, another brother in Christ, whose parents' combination are not as fine, will not be that fine. So there's no glory in externals. Hallelujah.
Thought that can answer.
It's not because you're in Christ. You say, God made me. No, God made Adam and Eve. Hallelujah. They now began to produce. Amen. He made from one blood. Ask yourself, those who are born with tribal marks on their, is it God that put it there? Do you know people are born with deformities? Hallelujah. I remember a story of a man, my dad's friend. When his dad had an accident, he fell down, and then his back, he had a problem with his spinal cord. And then for many months or some years, I think a year or two, he couldn't walk straight, he would always bend, and he had an issue. So when he got healed, he was not fully healed, but he was healed enough to go around. So that was when they now conceived, I think, the last one in the house. It affected that guy. Yes. He came with that defect. So is it God that made him that way? God created men, and then they now began to procreate. Glory be to God. That's the explanation for all those deformities, all those things that, you know, happen at birth. Do you know there are nursing mothers who take drugs that deform their babies? Hallelujah. Some children that are plus sized, it is the fault of the parent. While the mother had the child in the belly, the mother was drinking Coke, drinking Lacacera, drinking all kinds of things, eating donuts, eating jam, everything. You just want to kill the baby. You know the baby feeds directly from the mother. So what the baby is drinking is Coke, processed Coke, praise God. Processed, all those things, you are feeding the baby, sweet. So by the time they look at the baby, the scan says, hey, you can't give birth. We have to do operation. Because when God made you, he made you to eat vegetables. Praise God. So your baby will come out naturally. But you are now taking sugar and sweets and Coke and everything. Now they have to use an operation to bring out the baby. Glory to God. So they now use an operation to bring out the baby. And they tell you the baby cannot come out. Now who affected that baby? Is it not the mother? Glory to God. You feed your baby with cake because you are a baker. Hallelujah. They check the baby. Say, the baby is 7 kg. They, hey! Hallelujah. They say, even operation cannot do this one. We have to operation and deliverance and power of God and interceding for you before this baby will come out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So our charm or charisma is not in all those natural things. It's not in your body. It's not in your physique. How you look and fearfully and wonderfully made is not how you look in the physical. Hallelujah. Now for the man in Christ Jesus, your charisma are the things of the Spirit. Those are the things men should see and marvel. Praise God. Just as they saw it in the ministry of Jesus. Matthew 15. Hallelujah. Matthew 15 and verse 30 to 31. Matthew 15, 30 to 31. Matthew 15, 30 to 31. Bible says, so the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Hallelujah. What did they do when they saw the maimed all and the lame walking? What did they do? Bible says they marveled, and they did what? They glorified God. Hallelujah. Now, right, that's our charisma in Christ. That's our what? That's our charisma in Christ. That's our charisma in Christ. You remember men like Apostle Peter? Was Peter educated? Did Peter have a formal education? Did he have a formal education? No. He was uneducated. He was an illiterate. Did he command the respect of all men? Yes, in Israel. In fact, he became a force to be reckoned with in Israel. What do you think they saw in his life? Hallelujah. What did they see in his life? The power of God. The power of God.
The man Smith Wigglesworth was an uneducated man, an illiterate. He was a plumber. He could not speak English well. Years after, they were even editing his books and, you know, correcting a lot of things, errors. He could not speak English, but the people saw the power of God. Hallelujah. Once upon a time in a meeting, men came to listen to Smith Wigglesworth. A particular woman had been inviting her husband to church. The husband was always declining. The husband was godless, an atheist, would not come to church. But you know what? The woman would always invite the man. Whenever the younger guys in church were preaching, and you know, those ones were sounding well and eloquent and they were educated guys, the guy would not come. One day, it was Smith Wigglesworth's turn to preach. The man just said, "So I'll follow you today." So she felt, like error. Like, not today. Praise God. Not today. I mean, how do you explain? He just wants to give church a try. And then the pastor says, "So as Jesus was gone, I don't even know how to say it." Praise God. The man is just saying things that are not, you know, together. You know what? The man came around, sat in the audience, and Smith Wigglesworth was preaching. And it was with all the English errors. And the man received Christ. Hallelujah. And when he got back home, the wife said, "Did you understand what he was saying? What about his mistakes?" He said, "Well, he wasn't smooth with his English, but I couldn't resist the power." Hallelujah. He said, "There was a force that rested upon me. I could not resist it." That's what we're talking about. That's the charisma. Hallelujah. It is not in eloquence. It is not in many things. It is not in physical qualifications. It's in the ability and the power of the Spirit of God. That's why Jesus will hand over his church to Peter. Are you aware? Jesus knew that he was uneducated. He knew. He knew. But he said to them, "You shall receive power." Hallelujah. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you'll be witnesses. That is all that you need. It wasn't about all those qualifications. It was about the enablement of the Spirit. So the believer cannot afford to be talking about his charisma, you know, in the light of physical and earthly things. No, it's about the Spirit of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. So from all we've seen so far, it's clear that charisma is not something you struggle to possess. From all we've seen so far, it is clear that charisma is not something you struggle to possess or to have. It is not something you strive and labor to attain. It is not something you struggle to possess. It is not something you strive and labor to attain. It is a supernatural endowment. Glory to God. If it's there, it's there. If it's not there, it's not there. Hallelujah. And for every believer, we have this ability of God. It's in us. Glory to God. Charisma. You know, I said in the last teaching that the gifts of the Spirit are things we have received freely. You know, I said that, and I'm saying it again. We've received them freely. We don't pay any price. Why? Because Jesus did what? He paid the price. Jesus paid the price for the things of the Spirit. Now to verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 5. So gift, charisma, it's our thing, it's our charm. That's our thing. Glory to God. That is what we glory in. I don't glory in earthly things. I don't glory in material things. I glory in the things of the Spirit. That I have the ability to minister the things of God to a man. I have the ability to meet your needs supernaturally. That's my charisma. That's my charm. Hallelujah. And that's yours too. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 5. So I mean, dress well, dress nice, use perfume, whatever. Praise God. But that's not what you are glorying in. That's not your ground of confidence. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this story. I remember one time we invited Revo to come and preach. And then he came around. So he came quite late because he was coming from Ilorin. He had told us earlier that he was going to come late because he was going to come from Ilorin that morning after they had a vigil in church.
So it was going to be late. We were ready for that. So he had told me. So when he got here, he came in a taxi. And as he got down from the taxi, he had his cloth. The one he was going to use to preach, he had it in his bag. So, but because it was already late, he said, "Hey, let me just go and preach like this." Now, he was wearing a palm slippers and a polo, one white polo like that, and one trouser. He was looking like he was just coming from his garage or something. He said, "Hey, would you let me preach like this? Time has gone." But you brought your suit. I brought it, but let me just go and preach like this. Do you know why I was able to say that? It was about the ability of God. And then I said, "Don't worry, just go and change. Praise God." Then he went to change and he came up. And then, of course, in his typical way, before he began to preach, he began to call out cases. And I mean, in that meeting, he described somebody's case from childhood. Praise God. So that is the charisma. Hallelujah. It is not in any external thing. It's in the ability of the Spirit of God. So, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 5. Hallelujah. Are you following? How says there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Differences of ministries. The word differences is the same as diversities. The word differences is the same as diversities. As we've noted earlier, the word differences is the same as diversities, as we've noted earlier. While the word ministries is the Greek word diakonia. The word ministries is the Greek word diakonia, which is used mostly for ministry gifts. So there are diversities or differences of ministries. We mean there are differences of, not this time around, not of the gift, but of ministries. Ministry gifts and ministry operations. So it's used for ministry gifts. It's also used for service among the saints. Hallelujah. It could be spiritual service. It could be service in physical things. Service. Some have said the ministry here is the serving of the gifts. Listen, that when Paul says differences of ministries, the word ministry there means the serving of those gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. But if you look at it carefully, you discover that Paul already made a distinction in this letter. He shows us two things. We saw gifts of the Spirit, and we also saw ministries. Amen. So it is not about the service of those gifts. Primarily, it is about ministry gifts and offices. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's write it. Some have said the ministry here is about the serving of the gifts. Some have said the ministry here is about the serving of the gifts, but this is not true to the context. This is not true to the context. If you read the entire chapter, you'd notice he made a distinction between the gifts and the ministries. If you read the entire chapter, you notice he made a distinction between the gifts and the ministries. Are you there? Made a distinction between what? The gifts and the ministries. It deals with the gifts at verses 7 to 11. It deals with the gift at verses 7 to 11. Note that it didn't say to one is given the gift of an apostle and to another the gift of teaching. It didn't say that. It's about manifestation of the Spirit, the gift. Verse 7 to 11. It then deals with the ministries at verses 27 to 30. It deals with the ministries at verses 27 to 30. So, clearly, there's a distinction made between the gifts and the ministries. Clearly, there's a distinction made between the gifts and the ministries. Hallelujah. There's a distinction made between what? The gifts and the ministries. in this chapter. There's a distinction made between the gifts and the ministries in this chapter. So, 1 Corinthians 12:5 is not about gifts of the Spirit, but ministry offices or service among the saints. So, 1 Corinthians 12:5 is not about the gifts of the Spirit, but ministry offices or services among the saints. Now, listen up. Now, there could be a trick somewhere. You say, okay, in ministering the gifts of the Spirit, aren't we serving one another? You know, we could say that. But the context, that distinction makes you realize that he already spoke about the gift. So, in saying we have diversities of gifts but the same Spirit, he already makes us realize we serve ourselves with the gift. Now, he now goes ahead to say diversities of ministries. Amen. And I said to you, ministry there is specific. It is not about the gift right now. It is about the ministry gift offices. Glory be to God. Now at verse 6, it says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Let's keep writing. The word activities or operations, that's how the KJV renders it. The word activities or operations is the word energema in the Greek. Energema. It should stay and stick right now because we saw it last week. Energema. E-N-E-R-G-E-M-A. Which means an effect or working. An effect or working. The activities, there are diverse activities, diverse effects, diverse workings. Praise God. It's from the root word energio. Or energio. E-N-E-R-G-E-O. Which means to be active or efficient. It means to be active or efficient. Glory to God. Means to be active or efficient or to be at work. To be at work. In other words, God by His Spirit has activated and set these things in motion. In other words, God by His Spirit has activated and set these things in motion. Praise God. Like we saw last week, we are not to activate the things of the Spirit. It's an erroneous perspective. We are not to activate the things of the Spirit. We only receive them. Hallelujah. We only do what? We receive them. We don't activate. We are not the ones activating. God is the one who has activated these things. That's the meaning of energy. He's the one working in us these things. Amen. So, and then like I said last week also, that this particular verse of the Bible, diverse activities, but the same God works all in all, applies to both the gifts and the ministries. Amen. This activities here is not just about the gift of the ministry. The activity talks about the workings. That is how God works both in the gifts and in the ministries. Glory to God. So, this is about both of them. God's working, God's ability, God activating those things in all of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's write. We've seen how this word is used in different places for things at work with or without our consciousness. We've seen how this word is used in different places for things at work with or without our consciousness. With or without our consciousness. So when we say God is at work in us, it is not dependent on your consciousness. Amen. The workings of God by His Spirit within you is not according to your consciousness. It is the fact that God is within by His Spirit. Amen. God is active. It is not dependent on your consciousness. Whether you respond or not,
And listen up. What I'm saying is this. When a man receives Christ, he receives the Spirit of God, right? Now, do you know a man can be a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, without praying in tongues? You've seen that before. Is God active in him? Is the Spirit of God at work in him? Why is he not praying in tongues? Because he's not conscious of that fact. But without his consciousness, is the Spirit of God at work? Yes. The Spirit of God is active. Amen. Let's see three of those examples that we saw last week. Ephesians 3:20. With or without your consciousness, God is at work. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know that we're going to get to a very great place in this series. I've taught this before. I've taught on how the power of God, the dynamics of God, is at work in us beyond our doing. Praise God. You know, there are times you say, I want to lay hands on the sick. But there are other times when you are not laying hands. You are in a place and something is happening. Glory to God. Because God is at work. Amen. So look at this. Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is where? The power that works in us. Now, when does this power work in us? Wrong question. Hallelujah. Isn't it? When will the power work? It says, it's according to the power that already what? Works in us. It's continuous. It's working. Hallelujah. So, my own responsibility is to be aware of it. Glory to God. Listen, when we come for a meeting like this and we say, we are going to walk in Jesus, Spirit of God, and we are going to walk in, and then we begin to minister, what do you think happened? We were only conscious of the fact that there's the Spirit of God in us, and things can happen. Amen. Before you positioned your mind to be conscious and aware of it, the Spirit of God was active in you. Amen. Active in you. So we are going to see the place of our will. And we're going to see the place of, you know, this working of God. Hallelujah. Because there's the place of your will in the exercise of the gifts. But there's a way it's taught that is not really accurate. Could be misleading. But there's a way it should be taught. There's the place of your will. Because God is already at work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. See another example. Philippians 2:13. Thank God for the word. Philippians 2:13. Are you there? Let's all read together. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Both to do what? Both to will. Hallelujah. Have you ever felt a burden to pray before? Where did it come from? God is at work. It's not you that wanted to pray. He said, yeah, I just felt an urgency to pray. And as you began to pray, you perceived things for somebody. And it wasn't you. It's the working of God. Hallelujah. God has put his Spirit within you. So from within, it can cause you to do things. It can cause you to respond to things. So God is at work. Colossians 1:29. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. Hallelujah. Paul speaking, he says, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working. Hallelujah. In fact, he used the word twice. Striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. What Paul is saying in this way is that I'm merely responding to God's power within me. I'm merely responding to God's activeness. I'm merely responding to God's workings. Glory be to God.
That's why there are believers who we say they've dulled their sensitivity. Like over time, you just keep shutting it out. Over time, you just keep saying no. Over time, I mean, you had the leading to go and fast. You did not respond. You had all those leadings are coming. You don't obey. You stand at the bus stop. Don't enter this bus. You enter and they collect your phone. Glory to God. And something said, you know, God is always at work. Hallelujah. Sometimes it might be as simple as don't sleep yet. Pray a while. That did not come from you, because from you, you wanted to go and sleep. So God is at work. Listen, God will never be dormant in a man. It cannot be. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God will never be dormant. And I think at this juncture, I would like to explain 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Spirit of God will never be dormant in you. If the Spirit is doing nothing. No. You'll be the one doing nothing with what the Spirit is doing. But the Spirit will always be active. He's living. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Glory be to God. Even your body, do you know that even your body, whether you cooperate or not, your body will do some things. You, whether you want to participate or not, as a faculty, it will do things. When it's time to sleep, if you like, don't sleep. You just got your eyes just shut. Praise God. You can now sleep eternally. Praise God. So there's something at work, something already set in motion, and it just needs your cooperation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to see from verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Verse 19, let's all read together. Do not quench the Spirit. Hallelujah. Do not quench what? But you just said the Spirit can never be dormant. So what is Paul saying here? Do not quench the Spirit. The word quench there means to extinguish. Hallelujah. It means to put out. So the question is, can you extinguish the Spirit? Hallelujah. Can you snuff out the Holy Ghost? It's impossible now. So, but when he says do not quench the Spirit, it is talking about the activities of the Spirit. And then you see, he says, rejoice always, verse 16. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Hallelujah. So if in this church now, somebody gives a prophecy, nobody receives, nobody, or we shun the person, they don't, keep quiet. And then we don't give room for those things. You know what we are doing? We are quenching the Spirit. It is not the person of the Spirit. Hallelujah. But the activities. Glory to God. That is the only thing you can suppress. So a man can have the Holy Ghost and not pray in tongues. A man can have the Holy Ghost and not prophesy. A man can have the Holy Ghost. And you know in the Holy Ghost there's joy, right? But it can be sad and gloomy. It can be sorrowful. So at that point in time, such a man has quenched the Spirit's influence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Did you get this? He has quenched, he has suppressed the influence and the activity of the Spirit. Amen. So let's go back to operations. 1 Corinthians 12. Number 6. There are diversities of activities, workings, but it is the same God who works all in all. So Paul says God works all in all. So let's write. We are to respond to God's work in us. We are to respond to God's work in us. Hallelujah. We aren't required to begin to activate anything. We aren't required to begin to activate anything. We are to recognize that God is at work in us.
We are to recognize that God is at work in us. We are to recognize that the things of God have been activated in us. And then we respond to it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Also, Paul says there are diversities of these workings. No, that's the main point. There are diversities of activities. So there are diversities of these workings of God. That is, though the gifts are the same and the ministries are also the same, there are various expressions. That is, though the gifts are the same and the ministries are also the same, there are various what? Expressions. Now let me quickly explain that. Do we all pray in tongues here? All of us? If you don't pray in tongues, let me see your hand. Okay, so we all pray in tongues. Do we pray in tongues the same way? No, right? Can we all prophesy? Would we all prophesy the same way? Or the same things? No. So the activities, the operation, the workings of it are diverse. Hallelujah. Even the ministries. That is the reason why after I'm done teaching tonight, somebody else can pick up this manual and teach from it. Teach the same thing and it will still not be the same kind of presentation. Do you agree with that? That's the gift. So he will teach it in a way that would be different. It will be unique to his own gift. Though the content is the same. That's why when you look at the letter of Peter, the letter of Paul, were they writing the same thing? Huh? He said no. Were they writing the same thing? Yes. The only thing you can say is that Peter did not write as much as Paul. Okay, let me help you. Did Peter teach righteousness by faith? Did Paul teach it? Did they teach it in the same way? No. But they both taught it. And both of them are what? Accurate. The same content. Praise God. Did Peter teach about the ability of the Spirit within us? He did. 1 Peter 4. Paul also did. But you know, Paul says word of knowledge, word and all those classifications. We don't find that in the letter of Peter. But they all taught the ability of the Spirit within us. Finding expression. So the ministry gifts are the same, but the workings, the activities are diverse. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, that's why it is wrong to imitate spiritual gifts. It is very wrong. Amen. It's awkward. It destroys diversity. You come to this church, you see a man of God praying in tongues, you say, I like that tongue. Amen. Hallelujah. Then you now listen to it to a point where when you show up, you too, you are sounding like it. It doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. It doesn't make sense. Or you were there when Agabus wanted to prophesy and he tied himself. One day you tie yourself. We need to come and help you. After you are done tying yourself, who sent you? Praise God. Do you know he did that stuff based on the leading of the Spirit? He had to illustrate. Amen. Now, people have said prophets always illustrate. For some prophets, they don't always illustrate that dramatically. Amen. Just give it. Just say it. So, the workings, the operations are diverse. There's no limitation to it. It says, it is God working all in all. So, what we are meant to just do is to position ourselves to know how to respond to these workings. Amen. Rather than be looking on the external, be finding who is prophesying, how can I do it? You are meant to learn how to respond to the workings. Say with me, God is at work in me. Do you get what I'm saying? Like tonight, God is at work. So rather than look at Deji or look at Perez, how he's talking in tongues. No, just know how to respond to the inner workings of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You'll find it there. And you know, when we walk that way, there's that diversity in the midst of us. Hallelujah. We find that diversity of the Spirit in the midst of us. Now to verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all. Glory to God. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the profit of all. Hallelujah. Let's write. The word manifestation is the Greek word phanerosis. The word manifestation is the Greek word phanerosis. Phanerosis is spelled P-H-A-N-E-R-O-S-I-S. Now the O has something like a dash on it. Phanerosis, which also means exhibition. It means exhibition, expression, exhibition, expression. It also means endowment. Hallelujah. Endowment. Now, this time around, when we talk about the manifestation, it is not what God deposited in you. Amen. The word manifestation, like we saw, it means exhibition, expression. Now, it's an outward display. Glory to God. Write this down. It's an outward display of what's on the inside. Manifestation is an outward display of what is on the inside. Glory to God. This is about bringing out from what's on the inside to minister to others. This is about bringing out from what's on the inside to minister to others. Glory to God. The word is used in just two places. You find it at 1 Corinthians 12:7. You also find it at 2 Corinthians 4:2. 2 Corinthians 4:2. Anywhere you see the word manifestation, it is not something that is with the man or something that is in you. It is something that has been brought out for the benefit of others. So, at salvation, you receive the Holy Ghost. In ministering the things of God, what you have is the manifestation of that Holy Ghost. Now, that manifestation is bringing from within to minister to others on the outside. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4:2, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. How did they manifest the truth? By what? By preaching it. Glory to God. By what? Preaching. So, you bring from what is on the inside, you bring it outside for the benefit of others. That's manifestation. Amen. That's manifestation. So, it's an active exhibition or showing. It's an active exhibition or showing. Manifestation is an active exhibition or showing. Or you could say showcase. Active exhibition or showcase. The verbal form is the word phanero. The verbal form is the word phanero, spelled P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O. P-H-A-N-E-R-O-O. Let's see Taya's Greek definitions for what, you know, for definition of phanero. So, Taya's definition. Taya's definition. Taya is spelled T-H-A-Y-E-R. Taya's definition. Number one, it says, to make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or known. To make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. To make manifest or visible or known what has been hidden or unknown. Whether by word or deed or in any other way. So you know we saw preaching of the gospel, manifestation of the truth. Whether by word or by deeds. Hallelujah. Could also be via utterance gift. So, it is always about what is hidden, now made visible. Glory to God. 1a, it says to make visible, to make actual and visible and realized. To make actual and visible and realized. 1b, it says to make known by teaching. To make known by teaching. They're almost the same. 1c. 1c says to become manifest or to be made known. To become manifest or to be made known. I'll skip 1d. It just says of a person. But 1d. To expose to view, or to show oneself or to appear. To expose to view, to show oneself or to appear. Hallelujah. 1e, it says to become known. To become known. To be plainly recognized. To become known, to be plainly recognized. And thoroughly understood. Hallelujah. So those are the definitions. So let's keep writing. All the definitions describe an unveiling or uncovering of something. All the definitions describe an unveiling or an uncovering of something. Glory to God. An unveiling or uncovering of something so as to be seen, heard, or known. So as to be seen, heard, or known. So as to be seen, heard, or known. So the manifestation of the Spirit. So the manifestation of the Spirit is not the deposit of the gift in us. So the manifestation of the Spirit is not the deposit of the gift in us. But the outward showcase of these gifts. So the manifestation of the Spirit is not the deposit of the gifts in us, but the outward showcase of these gifts. So we can also render 1 Corinthians 12:7. We can also render 1 Corinthians 12:7 as, but the exhibition, expression, and outward showcase of the Spirit is given to every man. We can also render 1 Corinthians 12:7 as, but the exhibition, expression, and the outward showcase of the Spirit is given to every man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The exhibition, the expression, and the outward showcase of the Spirit is given to every man. We're still writing. This means God is not just in the business of giving the Spirit. This means God is not just in the business of giving the Spirit. He is also in the business of making us express the Spirit. He's also in the business of making us express the Spirit. It's also in the business of making us express the Spirit. Hallelujah. To think otherwise is to give room for pseudo manifestations. To think otherwise is to give room to or for pseudo manifestations. And I'm going to explain that. To think otherwise is to give room for pseudo manifestations. Now look up. You know, the idea that the manifestation of the Spirit means that God has put the gift in you. And we're going to see something tonight. Are the gifts in us, or the Spirit is in us, and we have the ability to minister gifts? Amen. Are the gifts, do you have word of knowledge in you now? Hallelujah. Eh? Do you have prophecy in you right now? Say, yes, I have prophecy. I have word of knowledge. Oh, yeah, come and give it. Praise God. We're going to see. So, the manifestation of Spirit is not that God has put prophecy, word of knowledge, and all those things in you. It is that you are ministering word of knowledge, prophecy. It's about a showcase. Amen. It's a showcase. So it is not in you. You just get up anytime and then you express it. It's the Spirit in you, and then the Spirit giving you word of knowledge. Praise God. The Spirit giving you prophecy. The Spirit giving you utterance. Hallelujah. Ministering. So you have the ability to minister those things when necessary. So we're going to look at it carefully. So to think of otherwise is to give room to pseudo manifestations. And I've seen people say that you can see a vision right now. Amen. So the person begins to try to see a vision. Amen. So he stays like this and he's seeing the vision. I've seen. Wow, I saw a tree. I saw a tree right there. Amen. I saw a tree. It's a green tree. No, red tree. Praise God. Is tree not green before? So, he will see something. You know why? Because, of course, there's the power of imagination. And I've also seen people teach that the imagination and the vision are the same. That don't assume it's your imagination. That's a vision. Amen. Now, do you know why this is wrong? It will limit the manifestations of the Spirit to times when you are ready alone. But do you know that you can be planning to go to bed and you receive a word for somebody? Has it happened to you before? Do you know you can be on your way to work and by the Spirit you receive a word for somebody? You know you have to reach out to somebody. Do you know you were not ready for it? You see, that concept of doing it at will is only applicable most times to when we now come to church. Say, right now, so I have everything. I want to minister everything. So the man wants to minister all the things of the Spirit in a gathering of maybe four people. Amen. In the first place, maybe he's not even sick. He doesn't need word of wisdom. Praise God. But you still want to minister all the things of the Spirit in the gathering of four people. That's because you've misunderstood what it means. Amen. And you know what? It will now put you under that pressure we used to say there's no pressure. That's the real pressure. Amen. That one is the real pressure. Because nobody has told you to see a vision by force. Hallelujah. So we're going to see tonight. Let's continue. The word manifest. The word manifest, as we've seen, is about unveiling what is hidden. The word manifest is about unveiling what is hidden. Glory to God. Hallelujah. People don't know the implication of those things. Let me give you another example. I can do the things of the Spirit at will. And I know your mind could be running to, okay, what about tongues? You just open your mouth and don't worry, we'll get there. So I can minister the things of the Spirit at will. Do you know the implication? The implication is that if I give you a cup of water this night and I say I need wine, you should be able to turn it to wine now. If you don't do it, praise God. No, that's the implication. The implication is that as we close tonight, maybe I now take your time to 10 and you are going to Bagada, you must be able to say, Emoji, no problem, I'm free, no coffee, just disappear. At will. If you cannot do that, you see, all this at will stops in all this word of knowledge that we may not be able to confirm. Come and walk on water. Hallelujah. At will. I'll follow you. Praise God. But if it is somebody in your family has kidney problem, say, nobody has kidney problem. Think about it well. Praise God. More family. Praise God. No, somebody said, a friend of mine said, somebody gave him a word that is a relative of his has kidney problem. He said, no. He said, check it. Multi-check. There's no kidney problem. Praise God. And then all kinds of things. So, and I've seen people walk in pseudo manifestations. Guesswork, as it were. Because they are under pressure. Hallelujah. He must say something. He has to manifest. Glory to God. And that's pressure. You see, it is, you know, I started by saying it's a charisma. It's a natural thing. It should happen as naturally as you do every other thing. Amen. It is given. It's not something you preconceive. It's not something you struggle to get. It should just come naturally. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see instances where the word manifestation is used. Or manifest, phanero. John chapter 1, verse 30 to 31. Manifest. Don't think right now. Don't think. Just put your head in this study. Amen. Phanero. John 1, 30 to 31. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water, that Jesus may be made what? Manifest to Israel. How was he made manifest? There was a public showing. This is Christ. He was hidden in their midst. They did not know him. So to make him manifest to them, they had to show them. John chapter 2 verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. I like this one. He manifested what? His glory. How did he manifest his glory? You know, he turned water to wine. So he manifested his glory. Glory be to God. So that's a manifestation. They saw something that he did. So manifestation is all about presenting an outward, something, you know, on the outward. You reveal something to men. John 9, 1 to 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither had this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. The works of God be made manifest in... How would the works of God be made manifest? Healing, right? That's manifestation. So they will see something. Acts of Apostles chapter 4, verse 16. Anywhere you see manifestation, manifest, it's about an uncovering or an unveiling of that which is hidden. That is, while Jesus was walking in Jerusalem, he had the glory of God. But the day he turned water to wine, Bible says he manifested his glory. Amen. So the power is there, the spirit is there, the glory is there, but until there's an outward showcase, there's no manifestation. Amen. Acts 4, 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all. To all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. This was after they healed the man by the beautiful gate. It says a miracle has been done and is manifest to everybody. We can all see it. Hallelujah. Romans 1, 19 to 20. I like this one too. Romans 1, 19 to 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shown it to them. How was it manifest? Verse 20. For the invisible things of God, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. What's manifest in them is what they saw. In fact, another version says it's manifest to them. So they saw the world, the glories and everything made. And so that it's the invisible attributes of God were made visible by what? By the things they saw. So while it was, without the world, God has his attributes. But with the creation of the world, those attributes, amen, are now what? Sin. So he says it's manifest to them through what is made. Glory to God. Romans 16, 25 to 26. Romans 16, 25 to 26. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. It was kept what? It was kept what? But now is made manifest. So it was first hidden. Hallelujah. So you see, manifestation is all about an uncovering. So manifestation of spirit cannot be you having the spirit within you at all.
It is bringing from the spirit within to the outside. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at this other place. 1 Corinthians 4:5. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the earth, and then shall every man have praise of God. He will make manifest the counsels of what? Where are the counsels of the earth? In the heart of man, right? So Paul is saying, don't worry. On the last day, God will make manifest the counsels in the heart of men. The motives for ministry. God will bring out all those things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Colossians 1, 25 to 26. Colossians 1, 25 to 26. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. It's been hid, but now it's made manifest. It's been uncovered, unveiled. I like this also. 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. How did we see God? Because he came. Hallelujah. This is the one that dwells in light no man can approach unto. But when he became flesh, the Bible says God was made manifest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter 1:18 to 20. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, as from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was foreordained, but now is manifest. That is, he appeared. Glory to God. He appeared. 1 John 2:18 to 19. I like this also. And this is the last one. 1 John 2:18 to 19. I'm going to say something quickly about what I said earlier about the manifestation of spirit. And now, it is not you just trying to minister everything you think, you know, everything that comes to your head. And I want to give you prophecy. I want to give you it won't work that way. And I'm going to show you why. Also, 1 John 2:18 to 19. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So it became clear, right? They were first hidden in our midst. We thought they were part of us. But when they now left, they are not part of us. It was made manifest. Now, let me quickly say what I wanted to say. I do not have enough intelligence or wisdom as a man to know what you need now. Amen. I may want to prophet. You know, he says the manifestation is given for the profit of all. So, imagine this. When Peter saw the vision concerning Cornelius, could he have in his wildest imagination imagined Cornelius would need his help? Do you know he received that demonstration of the Spirit for a man he had not met? In his wildest imagination, he couldn't have reasoned it out. Amen. And even people will know, I cannot, as I'm standing here, she's seated here, in my deepest thinking and imagination, I don't know what she needs the most to be ministered to. Amen. So, I could just hold her and say, you prosper in ministry, you prosper, which is not my exhortation. Praise God. Every believer should prosper in ministry. So, but because I feel that I must minister something, I just say, you prosper in ministry, you prosper in ministry. But now you say, wow, he has ministered to me, glory. Won't you receive it? But it could be that the Lord wants to get across to her in a different way entirely. Something else entirely. Glory to God. Something else entirely. You know, in this church, I've given
I've given words to people concerning their family members or friends that I have not met. Called out their names. How would I have done that? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not possible that I'll just... So, you don't minister them by your intelligence. That is why it has to be as led by the Spirit. You know that many times, we don't factor in the fact that there's the leading of the Spirit at work in the demonstration of these things. There's the leading of the Spirit. So at 1 Corinthians 12, it says they were led by dumb idols. That's the same, we are led of the Spirit now. So I rely on the leading of the Spirit to know what to minister to men. Put that down in your note. I rely on the leading of the Spirit to know what to minister to men. I rely on the leading of the Spirit to know what to minister to men. Put in your note. Say, I don't rely on my intelligence. I don't rely on my intelligence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me give you another example. When Philip was to meet the eunuch, was he aware that anybody was coming that road? He was seated in the desert. And then he was instructed to leave. And as he was moving, he saw a chariot. He said, run, overtake that chariot. And he got there. He knew what to do. Hallelujah. Was there a demonstration of God's Spirit right there? Was it according to his will? Do you know that if we are to analyze that scenario very well, Philip was not ready for that stuff. He did not even know anybody was coming. Glory to God. You know, for Peter, he was hungry, right? And he just went up to rest and pray. So while he wanted to pray, he fell into a trance. Glory to God. So it is not something you try to cook up. Someone said to me that, you know, he listened to a message or read a book on angels, and then every time he was praying, he would get so afraid because he's like he wanted to see an angel. They've messed up with your mind. Hallelujah. That's serious pressure. It is not something you are trying to do. Glory to God. And that's the reason why I keep saying that if you go on evangelism, you are not under mandate or obligation to minister any gift or spirit to anybody if there is no leading to. Do you know there are many other places where they just preach the gospel? That eunuch, what gift of the Spirit did Philip demonstrate to him? Was there any? He just walked in through scriptures. When Peter got to the house of Cornelius, what gift of the Spirit did he manifest to them to let them know that there's power? Praise God. He just taught and they received the gospel. The jailer, what gift of the Spirit or manifestation did Paul and Silas show? Nothing. Was there any? They saw earthquake. Was it Paul that brought earthquake? Praise God. They just led them to Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus called Peter after he had a miraculous catch of fish, right? He called Matthew. What did he show Matthew? Fire from heaven. It was as ordinary as follow me. Glory to God. So there's no pressure. There's no trying to do something. Because the moment you get ahead of the Spirit and you want to do, you will miss the true leading. Hallelujah. You will miss it. So there's the place of staying to discern what the Spirit wants to do through you. Glory be to God. Isn't that why we pray? Isn't that why, you know, when we come for meetings and we say we want to experience God tonight, isn't that why we spend a lot of time praying? And it's even from the place of prayer we expect you to come and minister. Then, but beyond the gatherings, on the road, on the street. For instance, I'll give you an example. Three times, there was a particular month, or I think in the space of 2 months, three times I walked into people on the street, and you know, as I walked past them, it just came to me strongly, this guy wants to commit suicide. And I'll go back and say, and you know, I was so blunt, and I'll say, you had nothing suicidal thoughts. And the person will look at it, and I said, no, it just came to me strongly. And then the person begins to cry 3 times. Now, I was not planning to go and preach. In fact, one of those times, I was going to school. Glory to God. So you will limit the operation of the Spirit when it's only about your readiness, the times when you are just ready and all that. So we are going to see the place of our will. Where then does our will fit? Hallelujah. Where then? Let's continue. I just said all those things to make you think and think ahead, so that as we go on in this study, you understand why I'll be saying some of the things I'll be saying. It is important that you learn that the manifestation of the Spirit is what is given. Amen. That is, you have received the Holy Ghost, and even the manifestation of that Spirit is given you. Amen. When he says manifestation of Spirit, it doesn't mean he has given you Spirit. Now just go and manifest. No, he has given you the Spirit. And when there's a time to minister of the Spirit, it will be by the Spirit. Glory to God. It will be by what? By the Spirit. Hallelujah. So look at this now. Hallelujah. So let's write. So you see, it's an outward exhibition of what's on the inside. It's an outward exhibition of what is on the inside. Paul calls it the manifestation of the Spirit. Paul calls it the manifestation of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit on the inside. The Spirit is on the inside even when you are doing nothing. But the Spirit, when expressed, is you responding to the activity of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit can be on the inside even when you are doing nothing. But the Spirit, when expressed, is you responding to the activities or the workings of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, God is working in you. God is working in you. But it is as you respond that God begins to work through you. God is at work in you, but when you respond to the workings of God, He now works through you. Glory to God. He works through you. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. Now, you have to note that the things Paul listed as manifestation of the Spirit are things we can see or hear or feel. The things Paul listed as the manifestation of the Spirit are things we can see, hear, or feel. Things we can see, hear, or feel. Let's see verse 7 again. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for what? It's given to each one for what? For what? The profit of... So, that means in the manifestation of the Spirit, men must benefit from it, right? So, you see why the manifestation cannot be what is in you. It is what you bring out from what is in you. Because in that manifestation, men must benefit. Hallelujah. So, do you have the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit? Do you have the manifestation of the Spirit right here? Now? No. Do you? You don't. If you have the manifestation of the Spirit, we must profit from it. Why is the manifestation of the Spirit given? To profit. For the edification. You know, he says, for instance, prophecy. He says, he who prophesies edifies the church. So can we say you have prophecy if we are not edified? So the manifestation of the Spirit, whenever it happens, we must benefit. Glory to God. So it's an outward exhibition. Men must profit from it. So let me ask you that question again. Do we have all the gifts of the Spirit? Yes. Do we have the Spirit? Hallelujah. Do we have the gifts of the Spirit? Or the ability to minister the gifts of the Spirit? Hallelujah. What are the gifts of the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 12, 8. 8 to 10, right? To one is given word of wisdom. Do you have word of wisdom? Huh? Do you have word of wisdom? Huh? You have word of wisdom. Yeah, come and give it. What is the manifestation of the Spirit? Word of wisdom. Huh? Do you have prophecy? Do you know if we say I have prophecy? That means you are coming to give us prophecy. Amen. Do you have word of knowledge? Do you have the Spirit? Do you have word of knowledge? When will you have the word of knowledge? When it is given. What is word of knowledge? Hallelujah. See, until I'm giving you a word by the Spirit, you can't say I have word of knowledge. You can say I have the ability to minister word of knowledge. Glory to God. Just like word of wisdom. Just like discerning of spirits. We have the ability. So that's why where I began from. I began to emphasize that we have the manifestation of the Spirit. Because what we have on the inside is the Spirit. Amen. Do you know it was Paul that gave names to all those things? So when I am led of the Spirit to give a word that, you know, it's an information about you that is unknown to me, but I know it supernaturally by the Spirit. So Paul says that is word of knowledge. Amen. We have prophecies mentioned already, right from the Old Testament. So what is prophecy? Prophecy itself is a manifestation. So, but what we have is the Spirit. Glory to God. What we have is what? The Spirit. Do you know that part of the things you see or you experience from the Spirit of God, he classifies, he also mentions visions, dreams, Joel. You can call them revelation gifts and all that, but you know they are not mentioned here. So you can have visions too. You can have dreams, insights into things like that, supernaturally. So, can you say, I have dreams? Amen. Or I have visions. You don't have visions. What do you have? The Spirit. So in the last day, I will pour out what? My Spirit upon all flesh. And then your sons and daughters shall do what? Because of the Spirit. Amen. Do you get that? So we have the ability to minister all the gifts of the Spirit. But you can't be telling me I have prophecy. You know what I'm doing? I'm trying to let you see that you can't say my own gift is prophecy. My own, because that's not what is in us. What's in us is the Spirit. And then the Spirit inspires us for utterances, revelation, working in power. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you get this? Do you have word of knowledge? No, sir. Do you have the ability to minister word of knowledge? Yes. Do you have the Spirit? Yes. So, what do you have? The Spirit. Glory to God. So, let's see. These gifts, that's right. These gifts have been classified as utterance gifts, revelation gifts, and power gifts. Utterance gifts, revelation gifts, and power gifts. Glory to God. Now listen. What is the gift of God to us again? The what? When I prophesy, who is that gift to? Is it a gift to me? So that's why I said, you know, we saw manifestation is exhibition, expression, and what? Endowment. It means to give something. So who is receiving those manifestations? The man.
Hallelujah.
You know, Jesus said to his disciples, go and heal the sick. He says, freely you have received, freely give. So they are going to minister it to men. So it's giving freely.
Hallelujah.
The gift of God to you is the Holy Ghost. But men will profit from the Holy Ghost as you give room for the manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. So I'll be a recipient of prophecy. I'll be a recipient of the gift of healings. I'll be a recipient of miracles. I'll be a recipient of... Do you understand what I'm saying? But the ability of God within me is the Spirit. So we have utterance gift, revelation gift, power gift. Very good classifications. I don't know who did it, but I've been hearing it for a long time. And it's great. So you have utterance gift, tongues, interpretation. I think it's word of faith, people. Kenneth Hagin, right? So beautiful contribution to the body of Christ. So it simplifies the whole thing. Utterance gifts are tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Revelation gift. You have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and what? Discerning of spirits. Power gift. You have faith. Now, I was to do that. Do you have faith? No, I've been asking you, do you have prophecy? Yes. And then later when I say, I don't have prophecy. I have the Spirit. I can prophesy. So, do you have faith? Hallelujah. The faith is talking about here. Is it saving faith? Or faith to work miracles? So, what is that faith to work miracles? Do you have it readily? Or at some point, you just discover a sudden boldness to minister healing. Does it happen to you like that? Just feel a sudden boldness to minister. Glory to God. To pray for the sick. So this one is not salvation faith. Amen. So we have faith. We have revelation. We have working of miracles. And we have the gift of healings. So what we have again is what? The Spirit. What is given to us? The manifestation of... So if the Spirit leads you to prophesy, the manifestation of Spirit you have at that moment is what? Prophecy. Amen. And you know, we have to make a distinction in this study between healing people by the manifestation of Spirit and healing by, you know, just using your believer's authority, which every believer can just get out there and do. Do you know that when people get healed during meetings like this, you give a word of knowledge, somebody gets healed, it's different from somebody coming to say, Pastor, please pray for me. It's different. Hallelujah. So, it's a leading by the Spirit of God. So, what the Spirit gives you for others are the gifts. Amen. You have the Spirit. What the Holy Ghost gives you for others, for the profit of others, are those gifts. Hallelujah. Are you still here? So, you can tell me you have the Spirit, but when you say, I have word of knowledge, you must be ready to come out. Amen. Hey, Pastor, I have word of knowledge. We are expecting you here to come and tell us. But if you say, no, I mean, it's within me, you're not serious. Word of knowledge is for us. Amen. It's for people. What you have is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Imagine word of knowledge, plenty word of knowledge in you right now. You will not even be able to contain it. What you have is the Spirit. So by the Spirit, you are giving word of knowledge for somebody. The ability of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's write. So one major reason why every believer can function in all the gifts of the Spirit is because we have the same Spirit. One major reason why every believer can function in all the gifts of the Spirit is because we have the same Spirit. Hallelujah. Because we have what? The same Spirit. All the gifts are manifested by the Spirit. All the gifts are manifested by the Spirit. What we have is the manifestation of the Spirit, not of one or two gifts.
What we have is the manifestation of the Spirit. Not of one or two gifts. In the Gospels and the book of Acts, there is a singular gift emphasized. In the Gospels and the book of Acts, there's a singular gift emphasized. And that's the gift of the Spirit of God. Because that's what we received. The gift of the Spirit of God. John chapter 4 verse 10. John chapter 4 verse 10. Let's look at the Bibles quickly. John 4:10. You may have to go and listen to this message again. Hallelujah. It's not even you may. You have to go and listen again. John 4:10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." If you knew the gift of God. Acts 2:38. "Repent therefore and be converted, and you shall receive." And you shall receive what? "Repent therefore and be converted for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 10:45. Acts chapter 10 and verse 45. Bible says, "And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out on the Gentiles also." The gift. So what did God give us in Christ? The gift of the Spirit. Just one gift. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. One gift. The Holy Ghost. Look at this other place. Acts 11:17. Acts 11:17. "If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could withstand God?" So, a singular gift emphasized. Now, at Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 16 to 18, Joel says, you know, Peter was quoting Joel, says, "Your sons and your daughters will do what? Will prophesy." Amen. So, we don't have one gift. One gift. You have prophecy. You have word of knowledge. No. There's nobody having word of knowledge. What you have is what? The Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost can make you give word of knowledge when necessary. The Holy Ghost can make you minister prophecy when necessary. Hallelujah. So that's why Joel says, "All shall prophesy." If you have word of knowledge, that means you cannot prophesy. If the gift you have is interpretation of tongues, that means you cannot walk in discerning of spirits. Amen. God help you, you are alone in the room with somebody that has so you cannot discern spirits. Amen. And then we need to call Perez. Hallelujah. Now Perez gets there, can discern spirits, but cannot cast out the spirits. Amen. So we need to call Sheyi. Hallelujah. And Sheyi comes, and then by the time Sheyi cast out the spirit, we need another person to help us now give the person word of wisdom. Glory to God. Or now to deal with the COVID that we just delivered her from. Amen. It doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. It doesn't make sense. So we all can prophesy. So we all have the same spirit. But we have different roles. This is not ministry gift. I can prophesy, but I'm not a prophet. You know, there's a difference between ministry gift and gifts of spirit. I can prophesy, but I'm not a prophet. I can evangelize, but I'm not an evangelist. Amen. I can do what again? Yeah, I can minister prophecy. I'm not a prophet. Ministry gifts, write this down. Ministry gifts are leadership roles in the body of Christ. Ministry gifts are leadership roles in the body of Christ. They are different from the gifts of the Spirit. Ministry gifts are different. So, you can't operate in all ministry gifts. But you can operate in all the gifts of the Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit are as by the Spirit within us. There's a difference between the gifts of the Spirit and ministry gifts. Hallelujah. They are different. Ministry gifts are peculiar roles in the body, and they are leadership roles. Leadership roles, and they are peculiar. But when it comes to gifts of the Spirit, that is not a role in the body. But this guy, the role he plays in this church is prophecy. Amen. There's no such thing. But we can say this man is a pastor in the body of Christ. Or this man is an evangelist. Or this man is an apostle. But we don't say this person is is our discerner of spirit. Amen. There's no such thing. What we have is the Spirit. And you cannot give expression to the Spirit. But when it comes to ministry gifts, there are roles in the body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You could write down Ephesians 4, 11 to 12. Give some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So we have the Spirit and can exhibit all that's in the Spirit. Glory to God. We have the Spirit and we can do what? Exhibit all that's in the Spirit. Jesus taught it at John 14, 12. He that believes in me, the very works that I do, shall he do also. You know, Jesus did not say, he that believes in me may be able to do some of the things I do. The very works that I do. The same. He made no difference. Or no distinction. And Mark 16, 15, 16, 17. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe is condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. They shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Every believer can walk in the things of the Spirit. Because we all have the same Spirit. So there are diversities of gifts. But the same Spirit. Hallelujah. So if I can minister prophecy and I cannot minister discerning of the Spirit, the question is, where is discerning of the Spirit coming from? Is it not from the same Spirit? Amen. It's like saying some people can walk, some people can see. Amen. That is not applicable to spiritual gifts. That is applicable only to roles, ministry gifts. It is not applicable to the manifestation of the Spirit. Because Paul already says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's start closing. So, Paul has shown us that the things of the Spirit are commonplace. Paul has shown us that the things of the Spirit are commonplace. And that it is for the profit of all. It is for the profit of all. That is, for mutual edification. For mutual edification. These are two major distinctions between spirituals in Christ and spirituals outside Christ. These are two major distinctions. That because we all have the same Spirit, the things of the Spirit of God are commonplace. You don't say, I can prophesy, but another believer cannot prophesy. No. Another believer will not stand in awe of you because of prophecy. He can also prophesy. Hallelujah. When one believer is praying in tongues, the other believer should not be saying, ah, and we lay. Praise God. Such a believer can also pray in tongues. They are commonplace. You know, that's how some people used to do. That realm, that depth. Ah, my God. One day, me too, I'll get there. Praise God. The things of the Spirit are commonplace. Hallelujah. And I said to you that these are two major distinctions between spirituals in Christ and outside Christ. Let's use Simon as a case study. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Simon the sorcerer. Outside Christ, when it comes to power, it is not commonplace. So. Amen. Some people are the people who, and that's the mentality people are brought into the body of Christ. It's some people that are these custodians. Others gather to stand in awe. Praise God. So, this church had a Gentile background. We saw that well in the first few teachings. They had a Gentile background. They are dealt in other kind of supernaturals, idolatry. There's a way the things of the Spirit operate in those circles. It's not commonplace. Amen. It is also not for the profit of all. It is not to edify anybody. It is show off. Acts of Apostles 8. Glory be to God. Acts 8, 9 to 11. Bible says, but there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Hallelujah. He had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. The word astonished is translated bewitched in the KJV. He had bewitched them. Hallelujah. He had bewitched them. Now this word in the Greek means to throw out of position, to displace. To astonish, to bewitch means to throw out of position, to displace, to throw into wonderment or amazement. To throw into wonderment or amazement. It's all about self-exaltation. Glory to God. So Simon the sorcerer was not trying to make them also flow. Amen. He was enjoying the spotlight. People will come and say, you know, he now got to a point, they said, this guy is the great power of God. Isn't that what we find also in some churches? Amen. Where the man of God is esteemed by every believer in such a way that they feel that they are inferior. The man carries a presence. Praise God. That's the man that carries the presence. Hallelujah. And everybody is in awe of him. That's the exact thing that Simon the sorcerer was doing. It's the great power of God. Hallelujah. He astonished them. So when Stephen got there, Stephen ministered Jesus' spirit for edification. He was doing good to them. And the difference in Stephen's gospel to them, the difference is that they would believe the gospel, and those signs that they also saw will now do what? Begin to follow them. Hallelujah. That's the difference. So the things of the Spirit in Christ are not for self-exaltation. They are not for self-glorification. They are also not peculiar or exclusive to some people. They are a commonplace thing. Hallelujah. Every believer can walk in the things of the Spirit. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Every believer can what? Walk in the things of the Spirit. Let's begin to close. Hallelujah. Back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. We'll read all the way down to 10 now. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. We'll read to verse 10. Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Now that's the tricky stuff. To one is given the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, this is a tricky part. To one, it gives the word of knowledge. To another, prophecy. Now, listen. It seems Paul is saying the Spirit gives one person tongues and gives another person interpretation, another person prophecy. Now, if this is what Paul is saying here, we must erase 1 Corinthians 14:13 from the Bible. Amen. Because at 1 Corinthians 14:13, Paul makes us realize one person can flow in two gifts at the same time. 1 Corinthians 14:13. Glory to God. Don't miss this. 1 Corinthians 14:13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may what? Pray that he may what? Interpret. So can he pray in tongues and interpret? Yes. Obviously, one person can flow in two gifts. Hallelujah. Now when he says pray that he may interpret, doesn't it mean when you speak in tongues, you now say, Baba God, please give me the interpretation. That's not what we are saying. No. He also does not mean to pray for the gift of interpretation. The word that in that place in the Greek, that's the word ina.
H-I-N-A. You know what it means? It means in order that. Amen. It also means to the intent that. According to Strong's, it denotes the result of something. That is the reason why you did something. So the prayer is to the intent that you interpret. You need to write this down. Hallelujah. The word that, as used at 1 Corinthians 14:13, 14:13, is the word H-I-N-A in the Greek. And it also means in order that, or to the intent that. In order that. So, if any man speaks in a tongue, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray in order that he may interpret. And you see why this is so. Let him pray in order or to the intent that he may interpret. And I said, according to Strong's, it is used to denote the purpose or the result of an action. According to Strong's, it is used to denote the purpose or the result of an action. That is, the essence of that prayer was to minister to somebody. Glory to God. So, this particular prayer must result in interpretation of tongues. This particular prayer that Paul is mentioning must result in interpretation of tongues. Glory to God. So, let's examine it quickly. Let's examine this quickly. From verse 6, 1 Corinthians 14, from verse 6. Glory to God. You need to be alert. 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 6. Are you all there? Are you there? Now, it says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? So Paul is saying, if I come to where? To you. Amen. That's what he's teaching now. If I come to you, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue, what is it to understand? How will it be known what is spoken? For you'll be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many languages or kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, let's read together verse 12, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Verse 13, therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may what? Pray in order that. You know, he began to talk about ministering to others. So it's in that context, he says, when you speak in tongues, it is to be to the end that you interpret. Glory to God. So it is not pray in tongues. Now pray for interpretation. It is pray in tongues with the intent of interpreting. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, like I was saying, it doesn't say, it says to one, he gives word of knowledge, to another, word of wisdom, to another, prophecy. And that will sound as though he's saying we can have individual gifts. But I've shown you earlier, what you have is the Spirit. And the Spirit can give you word of knowledge for someone, word of wisdom for another. Now when he says to one, to another, it's already clear from 1 Corinthians 14:13 that one person can speak in tongues and can also what? Interpret. Glory to God. One person. In fact, many of those gifts, sometimes it will require you walking in two or three at the same time to minister effectively. Word of knowledge, for instance, works alongside with word of wisdom. How can you walk in faith without working of miracles? How can you walk in working of miracles or healing, the gifts of healing, without faith? Do you understand? So it can't be one gift to you. What you have is the Spirit. Hallelujah. So when he says to one, he's giving this, to another, he gives this. He is not saying you have tongues, another person has interpretation, and all that. Let's see Luke 7:8 as an example of how this can be used. It doesn't mean it's about another person. The another can be you. Glory to God. To one, tongues. To another, the another can be the same person. So look at Luke chapter 7, verse 8. Luke 7, verse 8. Luke 7 and verse 8. Glory to God. Luke 7, verse 8. This is the centurion speaking. He says, "For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I said to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And I said to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now the question is, when he says, "I say to one, go," "I say to another, come," it doesn't mean there's a soldier that goes and there's a soldier that comes. Do you know, I can say to one, "Go now," to another, "Come," and at a different time, it can be the another that will come. And do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean there are two different people. In fact, the way he summed the whole thing, he says, "I can say to one, go, to another, come, and to my servant." Who is the one? Who is the another? Who is the servant? It could be the same person. Hallelujah. So, in the church gathering, the manifestation is given to one, one prophecy, to another tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. The one can be you. The another can still be you. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 14:13. So you can be the one with tongues. You can also be the one with what? Interpretation of tongues. Hallelujah. You can be the one with the gift of healings. You can also be the one with working of miracles. Glory be to God. The Spirit of God gives this to us. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, that's where we're closing tonight. The Spirit of God divides this to us or distributes to us severally as He wills. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. KJV says severally as He wills. So the Spirit of God distributes. Have you seen again that it is the Spirit giving the manifestation? Hallelujah. It is not a result of your intelligence. It is the working of the Spirit and you responding to that working. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say with me, "I have the Spirit." Say, "I have the manifestation of the Spirit." Say, "I function in utterances." "I function in revelation." Say, "I walk in the power of God." Say, "I walk in utterances. I walk in revelation. I walk in the power gift." Say, "I have the Spirit and I can demonstrate the Spirit." Say, "I have the Spirit and I have the manifestation of the Spirit." Say, "I can give tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I can walk in discerning of spirits. I can minister by the faith of God. I can minister the workings of miracles. And I can minister the gift of healings." Lift your hands and give Him praise. Thank Him tonight. Thank Him tonight. Have any questions, feel free to ask them. We are going to still look at these things carefully in the coming teachings. Have an open heart to search. Be willing to go back to your notes. Willing to go back to the message itself, the tape. And listen carefully. Oh, thank you, Jesus. As I was coming to the meeting today, it came to my heart strongly to say and to make the church aware that there is healing in the word. Hallelujah. It came so strongly that I should bring to the awareness and the notice of the church a fresh reminder that there is healing in the word. And these were the exact words that came. That God's word is medicine to your body. Hallelujah. God's word is medicine to your body. That if you will feed on the word intentionally, the way you ought to, you will discover you walk in health. You walk in health. God's word is medicine to our bodies. There is healing in the word. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give Him praise. Thank Him. Thank
came. Hallelujah. Some of you have to escape with the series. Escape with another series. Just go and listen all day. You walk in health. You walk in health as an added advantage to walking in a renewal of mind. Your body will take health. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and give him praise. Go ahead and pray in tongues. Don't look at the time. Talk in tongues a while. Talk in tongues a while right away. Talk in tongues a while. Ya kotolo galabasha katili kalabaka bakabalabra kabalas katili ya talabayata. Hey, ala gabasha kete ya golotoro golono vrogo bolo shite bele yeliade. Filianta la kolos bele yadi la vrogo bela galayanta. Thank you, Jesus. Ukapare anta kolandi ya talabayanto. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ukutile galamoni ya talabrega balas. Ya kotolo galeno rigi basa ta 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 ta. Yes, Lord. Kalabashaka tine gloria. Zilo tolo le silo tolo gino skiteri ge bala kotoludo. Ivali dalia de la galabala seteri talata. Fila barataria de la grega bashaka tine etile brogobologolotori basa. Matila tata tariye de lo broga balaska ta yege le teli teri yege bela tolo to pelos kapariye tela glabraga balaska tili gere loriye de la bayata. Thank you, Jesus. God is at work in us. God is at work in us by Spirit. God is at work in us by Spirit. Yes, God is at work in us by Spirit. God is at work in us. Yeno mangelo broga balos yute bela gere lorigi basaka palagale loriya. The Holy Ghost will never be dormant in you. The Holy Ghost is always active. God is at work in us. God is always working. We only need to be awakened, alert, conscious of the workings of the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, listen, listen. Begin to take note of leadings of the Spirit in strange places and at strange times. Be aware, be ready. Be conscious of the workings of the Spirit in strange places and at odd hours. Hallelujah. About to have your back, the Holy Ghost might just be trying to pass something across to you for somebody. Glory to God. While paying the taxi fare, you might just have a word. Glory to God. The operation of the Spirit is boundless. There are no barriers, no location limitation. Hallelujah. There's nothing like I'm not ready yet. It can just be about to move now. Glory to God. You have to be aware. You have to be aware. You must not relegate the Spirit of God to a particular location. You must not restrict the operations of the Spirit to a particular time. It is not just when we sing slow songs. Amen. You know, some people cannot flow into the Spirit unless there's a slow song and there's a keyboardist. No. The Holy Ghost can have his way anywhere. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you because we are more sensitive to the operation of your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Meeting is closed tonight. See you on Sunday. On Every Day with Jesus broadcast tomorrow, we are going to be praying. Hallelujah. And then we'll continue our series, City Set on a Hill, on Friday. Glory to God. All right, see you on Sunday. Have a great night.